It's Brandon Dawson here with another episode of Building Billions. I have a very special guest, somebody that I've been stalking for the last 60 months, 5 years, to understand how this person has become so successful. And I'm so excited to have him on my show. David, it is such a pleasure to have you on this show. Would you tell everybody who you are, what you've done, and then I'll explain why I wanted to have you on my show.
Well, I appreciate that, Brandon. And I am here because you've built quite a community with your partners, our friends that we have in common. But my story, I'll keep simple. It's a story of three worlds. Grew up in the world of not enough as a victim. I had a single mom, six kids, five boys and a girl. I watched my mom. I didn't listen to her. But luckily, by watching my mom, I learned about the consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential. I also knew my mom's work ethic, working two jobs, a single mom, packing my dinner in a paper bag. She was a second grade teacher and filled up greeting cards at convenience stores, that I wanted to be rich. And so to come on a show about making billions and impacting billions is right up my alley. But at that time in the world of not enough, where you're a victim, all I cared about was the one thing that was missing in my life. And I focused only on what was missing, which was a lot of money. Every stress that I had, distress, dis-ease, was related to financial insecurity. And so I resolved that problem when I got out of law school. Instead of taking $150,000 salary plus bonus maritime oil and gas litigation job in 1992, I decided to be an entrepreneur, to sell legal research online, despite my mom telling me the internet's a fad, despite when I first started, the Supreme Court Justice Scalia told me that nobody would ever do research on a computer, you needed books. And I do that because that's part of the journey of making billions, of creating a different self-image, is don't allow other people to limit it. And no matter how much they love you or you love them, they don't give you good advice. They give you advice, especially if they love you, to keep you secure and stable, not to expand your own limitations. But I did. I moved into the world of just enough for me. It's a very optimistic world. 9 months out of law school, I was a millionaire. 3 years later, we exited for $3.4 billion. And I expanded my skills, my knowledge, and my desire to Silicon Valley and Sand Hill Road, becoming and learning about venture capital, something you're well aware of, and expanding my technology acumen. And in 1999, at 31, I was worth over $100 million running Samsung's data division, their first data device called a convergence device in 1999. It was actually a Windows device. Apple didn't have a device yet. It was a Windows CE device. And I was married to my dream girl. I had everything I ever dreamed of, except for I lived in the world of just enough for me, trading and negotiating everything I had, including giving. I would buy things I didn't need to impress people I didn't like. And my relationship with money was actually, I believe now, it wasn't just a hope. I believe money could buy me whatever I wanted, happiness, love, whatever it was I wanted. But I was in store for a big lesson, as my mom told me I was lost. My dad told me I was lost. My best friend, Rob, since the fourth grade, who actually asked my wife to go steady for me because I was too chicken. And even my wife told me I was lost. I realized that the only four people that were telling me the truth were the people that told me I was lost and that money didn't buy love or happiness. And that's why I was so empty, trying to numb myself by surrounding myself with the wrong people and the wrong ideas. And it only cost me over $100 million to figure out that my mom, my dad, and my wife, and my best friend were all right. They were the only ones that actually loved me. And as I processed that I hated all four of them for telling me the truth, I realized I only hated one person, myself. And so over the last 18 years, after losing everything, I have shifted the paradigm of perspective of abundance. I now live in a world of more than enough. I give more, I'm given more, I receive more, and I ask for more than more. And I now am able and capable of giving more than more, being given more than more, receiving more than more, and continually asking for more. You see, the two ways you get to where you want to be are either help someone get to where they want to be or ask someone who's already there for help, which is why I admire you and Grant and Sharon and everyone I know in your circles to understand not only is it important to help other people get to where they want to be, which has always been part of my ethos, but more importantly, be humble enough to live in the infinite loop and ask someone who's already there for help. And so that's my story. I did skip one little piece. When I was living in the world of poor me, I ran the most notable sports agency in the world, Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment. Warren Moon and I started a global sports marketing company. It just goes to show you how my perspective has changed. If somebody years ago would have asked me, hey, tell me about yourself, I would have started by telling you I ran the firm that they made the movie Jerry Maguire about. I even forgot I did that because that's not really part of my ethos or mission. My mission is to empower over 1 billion people to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun.
So well said. And this is exactly why I wanted to talk to you, because you and I have some very similar experiences. I'll tell you that when I sold my business, my first business I took public at 29 years old. It was a Warburg Pincus back roll-up strategy. High school graduate, voted least likely to succeed, and punched through that at the peak of my career, when finally, after 7 years, we were going to make money. I was launching global. Everyone in on a strategic side was throwing money at me. The only consolidator in the marketplace, the only guy with an internet software that could run four wall locations in the space. My private equity guy said, hey, good job. It was May of 2001. I was at the peak of my career. Like, I just come off a Celebration Orient Express through the Australian Alps from a supplier that gave me $20 million just to be able to come to the U.S. They flew me home, said, this was amazing. We're selling your company. Now we get all of our money back, plus all of our money, or plus 100%. And sorry, that doesn't leave much for you. It's been great. And of course, my response was, nah, that's not going to work. I'm not selling my company. And they're like, you and everyone like you. So here's Dan. He's going to come in and sell your company for us. And it happened so fast, I had to start over. And I literally started over. But what happened is I had this idea of instead of raising capital and acquiring businesses, I would go out to business owners and say, I'll make you my partner, and the capital, instead of raising capital, I'll use the money you spend with me for me helping you. And then I'll give you equity in my company. If we're successful together, we'll do a little exchange between our businesses. And I built the largest hearing care group that outperformed their peer group 3.5 to 15 times, sold it for 77 times EBITDA to a $1 billion company in 2016, and wired $45 million out to my customers and said, thanks for being my partners and all of my employees. But in the window of that, I did 8 years of research on small business, what allows them to succeed, what causes them to fail, all these other things. But to the main point, I all of a sudden got my $100 million, which was my target as well. And I thought, I remember when the wire came in, I was in with my wife. We were in Greece, and we were there because the company that bought me, I was presenting to their leadership team. And the next day when I was presenting, the wire came in the day before. And I thought that would be a game-changing moment for me, but I just looked at my Morgan Stanley account, bing, and I'm like, I couldn't even believe it. I was in a little bit of shock. The main point, though, is for the preceding, I integrated my business into theirs globally, and we grew them from $1 to $4.5 billion in 36 months. And then I was done. Well, I had spent 10 years with this dream of doing all these things. And then all of a sudden I had the $100 million. I started running around with my billionaire friends. And everything you described is exactly what happened to me over the course of the next 18 months. I entirely lost my purpose. I never had felt more miserable. I felt better when they fired me because I was pissed about something than when I had all the money and I was like just burning it, feeling like a loser because I wasn't generating. I was just buying everything you could buy. I never had been rich. And I went through that same cycle. And so when I hear your story and then I hear your purpose of converting your skill set from me to them, a billion people, well, your story. So this is where it ties us together. When I was trying to figure out with my wife, who's half my age, and she's like, dude, I'm not going to marry you because I'm with you because I saw this superstar who's going to change the world. And now you're giving up on it. You're getting fat. You're getting lazy. You're playing golf all the time. And that's not what I bought into. We need to do something different. And that got my shit together. So she made a list of the top social media personalities, as she had recommended in 2018, that I look at these social media personalities because maybe I could bring all my work to somebody, partner with them, and then bring it to the mass quicker. I thought that was a dumb idea, by the way. And you were on the list of the top 10. And so we started watching you. And I'm like, I love the thing that immediately impressed me about you. And I'm telling you, this is 2018-19. The thing that impressed me about you is that you and I both know that when you're sitting with someone and they're acting like they had done it and they're talking about it and they're throwing out generalities, it doesn't take us very long to know if someone actually did it or not. You can hear by the way they're communicating about the granular things. And as soon as you start asking some questions, their stories fall apart. You were one of the few people, literally of the 50 she started with, we got down to like three or four. I'm like, this guy is the realest dude. I can tell he is a real guy. He's really done it. He's really been through the muck. And he really rebuilt it because of the language you use. The funny thing is, and I want to share this with our listeners, when you pivot from, okay, it's not about me anymore, it's going to be about how many people I can bring on this journey. The only people that actually do that are the ones that, A, made it, because if they hadn't made it, they're so focused on me. And B, they actually have a servant mentality, because I have a lot of billionaire friends that don't give a shit about anybody else. They're like, I did it. I rang the bell and I'm just going to focus on what I want. So I knew you were the real deal. You're a great guy. I just couldn't figure out how to plug what I did into what you were doing. So you're on a mission to help a billion people. We're on a mission to help a million 10X entrepreneurs, business owners, knowing that if we do that, we 10X it again. We help hundreds of millions, if not billions of people as well. We're so aligned in what our mission is with helping people and bringing them value. We just do it a little differently. And I wanted to tell you, it was time. I needed to validate that I was a real guy because no one knew who I was. I had no social media following. Nobody knew anything about me. But I wanted to come on and tell you how much I appreciate you, because you inspired me. And your commitment to help people and the commitment to your work ethic to do it and your message is unbelievably inspiring, and it inspires me. And you and I have never talked about this, and you didn't understand any of this about me probably because I've never told anybody, but it was time that I told you this but I needed to do something with myself. Otherwise it's just another fan that says, oh, I love your stuff and you're great. But I wanted to tell you, thank you for your message.
Well, I can't tell you how much that means to me. And, you know, Dennis Waitley, when I was young, he's like a Zig Ziglar. If you don't know who Dennis Waitley is, he has trained millions of people in sales, and he lived in San Diego. And I was a young sales guy in my early 20s out of law school. And I thought I knew everything at that time. I was a great salesperson because I have a genetic and an energetic inheritance to sell, but I sold the wrong way. I would oversell, back end sell, sometimes lie, manipulate, and cheat as a sales rep to make more money. And Dennis Waitley tried to teach me how to sell in an abundant way. He taught me value was given to help people with more of what they like, take away what they don't like. And I was very resistant. I was 25 when I met him out of law school. And I was resistant because I'm like, do you know who I am? Like, I'm the number one sales guy in a multi-billion dollar company, and I'm only 24, 25 years old. I'm going to be the vice president of sales at 26. We're going to exit for billions of dollars. Do you know who I am? And he said to me, David, I do know who you are, and I am planting a seed under a tree that I may never sit under. And I've been blessed to see people like you, but more importantly, Dennis Waitley, and tell him and thank him for planting those seeds, because I am a tree and he's still alive in his 80s that I gladly allow him to sit under. And the philosophy of 10X and of Grant and you and so many other people. My philosophy is more than a billion people because I'll never limit myself, as you know.
Yep.
And I'm looking for 1,000 people like you and Grant who will empower 1,000 to empower 1,000. That's a million times 1,000 is a billion. And I take a different approach, but I appreciate you and the differences in our approach, because that collaboration, that coordination, and the intention that we give it, you're one of the few people I know that they do say, think, feel, and believed aligned with their divine direction. They know how to handle the divine detours because we've been there before, and they understand the divine time that it takes to get there. And so for you to acknowledge the work ethic that it takes, because as you know, sometimes you're just planting seeds and you really need to see a tree or two along the way when every single day, 7 days a week, you're trying to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential. When people are laughing at you, making fun of you, scoffing at you, and even in social media, attacking you, even about your weight or your hairline, yeah, or worse, your family, you know in your heart that if I keep on consistently, persistently pursuing my potential, that eventually they'll applaud you. And I applaud you, and I appreciate the applause that you've given me. And it's on our mission that we both will be billionaires, probably in a different way than most people imagine. We'll do it by empowering over a billion people that buy from each other and sell for each other for life. That's a guarantee method of becoming a billionaire.
A lot of people ask me what has changed for me once I became wealthy and adding to my wealth. And really it's like my circle's getting smaller, not bigger. It's like the true inner circle. I've had so many mentors. You know, John Maxwell started through his books, and Sharon through her books in the early 2000s. And then by 2010 and 11, I had the benefit to ask them to come speak on my stages, and then built relationships. And then over the years worked in their businesses with them, helping them, becoming very close. And so all of my mentors I met through books, and what I'm very proud of is every one of them that I went deep on, I actually built a very personal relationship with. And when you talk about, because something that really struck out at me, and I think this is the problem I have with many of these people on social media. They don't do what you just did, and they don't do what I do. And this is why I think most of them are full of shit. You acknowledge the person that gave you the wisdom, invested in you, and helped you change your life. You acknowledge them, you communicated what they did and who it was specifically, and you ingratiated them because it's real for you. And that's the give back. I have been doing that every day now for the last 15 years, even before I met these people, which is why I ended up meeting them. But I watch people come through my programs, and then all of a sudden I see them on social media acting like they're an expert, and they're not even quoting any of the stuff that they just learned the weekend before from me, and they're making it look like and sound like it's them. And there's plenty of big names out there. And you and I, if we were sitting by ourselves having a glass of wine, we'd check the boxes together, but I would never do it publicly. But there are certainly...
Well, let's just say there are 19-year-old life coaches out there, which is one of the most courageous and baffling things I could ever have seen on the internet.
Well, there's also some 40 and 50-year-olds running around saying that they're 100 millionaires when you and I both know they're full of shit. So,
oh, yeah.
so the bottom line, though, is you know when somebody's really been there because they're so thankful and appreciative of the people who shaped and molded them. And I want to just talk to you for a minute about, because a lot of people ask me, I do a series on mentors and how to find them and how to build a relationship with them, and then how to add value back to them. When you think about some of your mentors, including the one you just mentioned, like what were some of the things you did in order to ingratiate yourself to where they'd care about investing in you?
What a great question. So first, I read their books. So I'm like you, whether it was Wayne Dyer, Bob Proctor, the Napoleon Hill Foundation, whatever it was, I read the books. So I knew at least the framework of what they could help me with. I wasn't just ingratiated because John Maxwell was famous or Sharon Lecter was famous or Kiyosaki. I read their books, not just once, by the way. I am still reading today for the sixth time, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Yep. And it means something different today because I've elevated my frequency and awareness through wisdom and faith to be given more of the gifts that he is given in that book is incredible. And so the first step was I was more interested than interesting. And then I went out knowing their framework and I asked questions. I asked for help. And then I returned and said, would it help you if I? Would it help you if I? Some people it was, hey, would it help you if I drove you to the airport? Some people was, would it help you if I help, you know, build your sales force or whatever skills, knowledge, or desire it was that I felt was aligned with the person I read about. And I took the time to show up and to provide value with an appreciation of who they were today and where they wanted to be in the future. And it wasn't until I lost everything that I started to do this. Yeah. I had no mentors. If I had asked for help, I would still have 10 times the money I had, but I had to learn that lesson because I always help people. That was just part of my culture, my family, my upbringing is to be of service and of value to others. But I was cheating myself and others because I was a surface player. I gave to receive, I negotiated and traded everything. And thank God they didn't have social media way back then because all the content on me, I'm so clean because I started doing content after I learned these lessons. If not, there'd be a shitload of, and I feel sorry for some of these young kids, right? Because there's so much shitty content on them right now that they're going to have a difficult time in their social silo cleaning up their past. That is probably true about every 20 something in the world. Yep. I am so glad there was no cell phones, no picture taking, and no social media in my 20s, or I'd have to use LifeBrand to clean up so much of my content because everybody would be like, Dave Meltzer is full of shit. Because I was, Brandon, I was full of shit, but I'm not today. I spend minutes and moments every day being full of shit. And a minute I catch myself, I stop. Right. I don't pile on. I'm human. I lie. I manipulate. I cheat. I oversell. But I immediately stop when I see my past. And I certainly don't look for my past in other people. I look for what I want to become in other people. And so that's how you find these mentors, by being of service and value and being more interested than interesting.
I've heard some of the things that you've talked about in the past, and I listened to you and I'm like, there's no point in me even commenting to what you just said, because if I did, I would say exactly what you just said. And that's
any honest person would, right?
Well, and that's the thing, is that's when you know someone's legit versus listening to some of these guys just pounding on how smart they are and how successful they are and how they're the greatest in the world. Like, I can't do that. You know, I first thought that was Grant Cardone. We landed on Grant Cardone because I had engineered and surveyed 10,000 business owners, you know, 10 years worth of work, FTI out of Chicago, millions and millions to understand consolidation roll-up theories, understand where businesses break or succeed, 97% go out of business. I just wanted to understand, how do we help people so they don't have to go the traditional route of trying to raise capital to build their business? And how do we keep them from going out of business? Because if the business fails, 83% of those businesses have family orientation. If the business suffers and struggles, the family suffers and struggles, and the community suffers and struggles. And I used to sit up there and look at who was funding the baseball field and who was funding the football field when I was in high school. And it was always what we consider the kids with the wealthy parents. And so as I got older, I'm like, how do I have kids that have wealthy parents who can fund the things that the kids need to be able to do? And I used to think that way, like, I want to be one of those guys someday. And so it pulled me into success. And then I caught up in being the greatest, smartest guy in the world, only to have the correction happen in a week, right? From the peak to a week to the bottom. And so when someone goes through that and then they come back, you can just sense that appreciation and that commitment to make sure other people don't follow that pattern. So when I was listening to you, and as I've listened to you, and as I hear you, it's just so clear, concise, precise, succinct. It's things you like, you would only get there if you grooved it. Water over rocks.
Yeah.
And yet there's so many false prophets out there talking about stuff. And this is I'm a non-social media guy, although I have to because of my business, right? So when I first saw Grant Cardone, I was like, no chance, because his first video my wife showed me. But after looking at Grant Cardone through Elena, actually going to one of his events and seeing his work ethic, and then actually meeting him and talking to him and realizing you have the promotion, Grant, and then you have the individual, the human being who really is committed and dedicated to seeing and pulling people to success. I was like, okay, there's something different here than what I'm seeing on social media, where you were the opposite. You were like, I love this guy. I'm just not sure how to work with him with what I do versus what he does. But I just don't think there's enough. I was with Sharon last week. We gave her a Lifetime Achievement Award at 10X Ladies with Elena. It was so amazing. I love her to death. She's been a mentor and a friend since 2008. And I was thinking about you. Your name came up earlier on this year. And I'm like, I have never called to just say how much I appreciate you. That's literally why I wanted to do this podcast, is to tell you, thank you for being a phenomenal human being, for communicating from your heart and your head, and for being an example to other people. And I see how much activity you have going on. And I'm like, the guy's just driven and committed to helping others. And that is the total purpose of this podcast, is just to salute you and your success.
I got to tell you, so interesting. Number one, I look forward to doing more with you, and please invite me to speak on stages. I'm doing something. Are you in Miami as well?
Miami, Scottsdale. I live in Scottsdale and Miami. We go
perfect.
Back.
Perfect. So we're at the Aspire Tour. I'll be there on the 4th. So please, I have a big dinner that I want to invite you to. But then I'm in Miami right after with Tim Story and David Williams.
Love Tim. He's such a dear friend.
I bet he is. Yeah. Invitations, not obligations, will put us together. But it's interesting that you talk about Grant, and I'll also throw into another good friend of mine, Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yep.
Both of those guys, I didn't like their videos. But that doesn't stop David Meltzer, and it shouldn't stop you. If you don't like Brandon's videos or David's videos or Grant's videos or Tim's videos or Gary's videos, well, get to know somebody. And then all of a sudden you'll start appreciating their videos, because you'll understand. And I really got to appreciate Grant because I invited him to one of my dinners that was right across the street from his office. I think it was in Fort Lauderdale or somewhere in Florida. And the fact that he showed up and he was so present and engaged, and he was so intelligent and caring and sincere. I'm a frequency vibration person. Yeah. So you can't lie. Your frequency doesn't lie to me.
Yeah,
you're either a high frequency or you're low. And Sharon's been a mentor, high frequency. Tim Story, you know, all the people around you, you're surrounding yourself. And then Gary was the same way. And so I want to encourage people that, look, if somebody has a community, find out why. If they have a community because they have a low vibration and they base things off of scarcity and off of lying, cheating, manipulating, and stealing, then don't be a part of the community. But there's a lot of people out there that you're not going to get what they're saying, what they're doing, what they're believing, what they're feeling by a video. And so just like, you know, you shouldn't date someone just because they're the best looking person you've ever seen or the worst looking person. You know, you want to get to know somebody, do the same thing with the video. And I would use, if somebody has been able to build a big community, find out why. And those are some great people that you surround yourself with. And I certainly want to be a part of that in a bigger and better way and serve that community and share my community with all of you as well. And so if that was the sole purpose of this podcast, I certainly am gracious in saying thank you for thinking of me that way and giving me an opportunity. I do want to share with your community. I always offer my book for free. So please, anyone out there, I sign my book, I pay for my book, I ship it, I pay for the shipping. So this is purely an abundant effort to get people to understand the framework in which I live my life and the community I have to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. So email me directly, david@dmeltzer.com. I will do that, and I would love to be a bigger part of your community, Brandon. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely, and thank you for joining me on this episode of Building Billions with Brandon. I enjoyed spending time with you, and honestly, just such a pleasure, David, to be able to speak to you in person, and I can't wait to get together with you. We will include a link for your book in this podcast, and I am certain you and I will do some bigger things together, and thank you for joining me on the show today.
It's done.
Thank you. Appreciate you, buddy.